You are Locked On Giants, your daily podcast on the New York Giants, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, New York Giants fans, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Giants podcast. I'm Ed Valentine of Big Blue View, joined today by co-host Pat Traina of Inside Football, The Athletic, Journal Inquirer, and Sports Exchange. Patty is struggling a little bit under the weather, so probably won't say too much, but obviously wants to weigh in on yesterday's news with the Alec Ogletree trade. So, Patty, we'll get right to it. Let you offer a couple of quick thoughts, you know, the best that you can, and we'll go from there.
Well, first of all, I absolutely love this trade. I think this is a great acquisition for the Giants. And normally when a player is acquired by a trade, you have to say to yourself, well, why did his other team get rid of him? And I'm really not sure why the Rams got rid of Ogletree. The only thing I can see is maybe the production dipped a little and didn't match the contract. But the way I see it is the Giants are getting a player, excuse me, who is basically coming in on a one-year deal for $10 million, no risk. If they like him, they can always, you know, do something with the rest of the years of his contract. If they don't, they can cut him and be off the hook. And they're getting a guy who could basically, I think I read his stat where he's had three seasons where he's posted 100 tackles or more in the 5 years that he's been in the league. And if you think about it, the Giants have had three different players since 2013 who have accomplished that. Jameel McClain did so. I think he was the last linebacker to post 100 tackles. And then Landon Collins did it for 2 years in a row. He was just off, I think, by a couple of tackles this year. So I really like the move. I think Ogletree is going to bring some blitzing ability to the defense. He's versatile, and I'm just absolutely thrilled that they finally showed some love to the linebacker spot.
I like the move as well. I like it, you know, on the field, but I also like the move for other reasons. I like the move for, I guess, the symbolism or the indication that we've all been looking for, that the linebacker position is finally going to be a priority with the Giants. It hasn't been for so long during the Jerry Reese era as GM. And this is an indication, you know, with James Betcher as defensive coordinator, with Dave Gettleman as GM, this is an indication that the Giants recognize that they have to take care of the linebacker position, that they have to improve at that level. For me, it's also an indication that this era of really conservative roster management for the Giants, where there was really not much in the way of wheeling and dealing, and you know, there were a few trades of seventh round picks, but there was nothing, you know, substantial, except probably for the Landon Collins move, you know, in terms of moving around aggressively, you know, pursuing players and really aggressively, you know, looking at a weakness and aggressively trying to fix it. You know, there were those situations a couple of years ago where a couple of players the Giants wanted in the draft got away from them because they wouldn't move up on the board. So I like the symbolism of this move, that it's a different management style, that we're likely to see more movement up and down the board. I know that when the trade happened, put up a poll at Big Blue View, about 75% of the fans who voted were in favor of this move. Not everyone, though, obviously, is in favor of this move. And one of our contributors at Big Blue View, Dan Pizzuta, took to Twitter quickly yesterday when the trade was announced and expressed his displeasure with this move. Dan joins us right now, and I'm going to allow Dan the floor for a minute to explain his reasoning for why he's not thrilled with the acquisition of Ogletree.
Oh, well, thank you for having me on. So there's a couple things with this trade. One, I'll agree with you with the aggressiveness. I do like the idea of the trades, and I've written before that I think trades are really the biggest market inefficiency in the NFL right now. I wrote an article last year that really highlighted what the Patriots and Eagles were doing in being the most aggressive teams in trades, and those teams played for the Super Bowl. But I don't completely think that's what this trade is. I think one thing that we used to kill Jerry Reese for was he was overpaying kind of mediocre talent, and he didn't always fill out the bottom of the roster because he missed on too many late round draft picks. And I think that those are two things this trade does. I think it overpays for a talent that could have been gotten elsewhere. And it takes away two late round picks that could have been used for back of the roster depth. And when you look at Ogletree, you're going to look at the tackles, and he was a second team all pro in 2016 because he had some of the most tackles in the league. But I don't think tackles are a great stat to look for individual achievement, especially when you look at some of the games and see some of the plays where people get awarded tackles. It's very iffy on play to play, and Ogletree misses a lot of them. I know Sports Info Solutions had him for 16 broken tackles this year, which was the sixth most in the league. And he had a 25.3% broken tackle rate, which is not what you want for someone who's going to be in the middle of the defense. And even in 2016, when he had all those tackles, he still had 16 broken tackles. So I just think, and when you look at linebacker, just in general, this is kind of a position that has been devalued kind of in the way of running back. So even if they don't do anything with a contract and it's that $10 million. No inside linebackers are really getting $10 million. That's like the Luke Kuechly's of the world. There's only six inside linebackers making more than that. And even if they do convert the roster bonus to a signing bonus and they're paying him $4.75 million this year, that pushes some money back. There's not a lot of inside linebackers making that much money. And then if you'll look at some of, I know we've been putting up our free agent previews on Big Blue View, and I did a list of some of the top 10 players by position. And if you look at linebacker, Ogletree, I think if I put him on this list, would have maybe been in the back half. And you look at someone on that list like Zach Brown, he's going to be a free agent. He was a free agent after 2015, only signed for less than $1.5 million, then was for 1 year, and then was a free agent again, just signed with Washington, was only $2.3 million with Washington. And he had a pretty good year, and I think his numbers in production are similar to Ogletree and is going to be done for way cheaper and no draft picks. So I don't think this was an area where the Giants really got someone where they couldn't have gotten that type of production otherwise.
Patty, let's talk about that contract for a second. You know, on the face of it, it's a four-year, $42.7 million deal, I think. We've looked at it, and it really, at this point, you know, the Giants could get out of it after a year, you know, with no cap hit, with no dead money. So, in essence, it's a one-year, you know, $10 million deal. Do you look at this as the Giants acquiring a bad contract, or do you not have a problem with this deal, whether the Giants, you know, tend to restructure that bonus or not?
I don't have a problem with the deal, to be honest with you. And to Dan's point, what I would want to, first of all, I think, Dan, the more plays a guy gets in, the more likely he's going to have a higher amount of missed tackles. I get your point. You don't want to see any missed tackles for the money you're paying. But, you know, it's kind of like with Odell Beckham Jr. The more opportunities he has to catch passes, his drop passes might go up. I mean, it's the law of averages, I guess. The more the opportunities, the better the chance of something going wrong. With that said, what nobody is talking about and I'll admit I haven't done the research yet. I'd want to know how many tackles made by Ogletree were done 7 yards or less towards the line of scrimmage. Because like you said, Dan, all tackles are not created equal, especially when we're talking about linebackers. And I might sit down and do this research and come up with my findings, but if Ogletree has made most of his tackles within 7 yards of the line of scrimmage, then I can live with a few missed tackles. I mean, because they're going to happen. Everybody has a bad day at the office every so often. Ed, to your point about the contract itself doesn't bother me if they are going to make Ogletree an every down linebacker. He is a guy who certainly has the versatility, not just to play inside linebacker in the 3-4, but prior to the Rams switching to a 3-4, they were in a 4-3. So Ogletree, I believe, for a long time played the weak side spot, and then he switched over to inside. I forget why, if it was injury related or just a position switch. But the last time the Giants had a guy who could cover, a guy who could rush the passer from that linebacker spot, I mean, you'd have to go back several years. So, you know, I could see why the money is there. But with that said, if I'm the Giants, you know, you want to make a decision on this guy and say, okay, do we want to carry him for $10 million this year and give ourselves an out if he doesn't work out? Or do we want to lower the cap money? Because, you know, they don't have a whole lot of cap money to speak of as of right now. I think they have, with the deal now on the books, I think they're 27. I think they had 24 to start, and, you know, $10 million. You knock that off, and then you also knock off the $2.9 million that Brett Jones is allegedly going to be, or I should say, reportedly going to be tendered. So you're not talking a lot of cap space to do a lot. So, you know, look, I mean, it's a gamble. You know, trades are never a sure thing, but I think it's one that had to be made. And I, for one, am curious to see how it works out. And, you know, Ogletree's also a locker room leader. He's a fiery guy. I mean, when was the last time the Giants had, you know, think in terms of a Justin Tuck or an Antrell Roe or an Antonio Pierce? Giants really haven't had that. The closest they've had to a guy like that has been Damon Harrison, who historically has not wanted that role. So it's high time that they got somebody in that locker room who, you know, is going to speak up, be vocal, and you know, not stop with this, you know, oh, I lead by example stuff. Yeah, that's great, but how many guys are really paying attention to you when they're trying to keep their own house in order?
You know, it's sort of maybe an aside, but you mentioned Ogletree and leadership and being fiery and all of that. But I wonder if there's going to be an interesting conversation between Ogletree and Odell Beckham at some point. And when you think back to Beckham's rookie year and the sideline brawl, you know, that was initiated, you know, between Ogletree and Beckham, you know, after a late hit, I think four players got ejected, you know, because of that scuffle. So, I mean, it's not going to be an issue overall because they're teammates now and all of that. But I think it would be fun to be a fly on the wall and listen to the conversation that those guys are going to have. Dan, I did want to ask you quickly. You know, Patty touched on it a little bit. But the one of the things that I read when I was looking at why the Rams were willing to trade Ogletree was, you know, Wade Phillips runs a 3-4, and not every 3-4 is created equal, but they felt like Ogletree wasn't a real fit for what Wade Phillips wanted to do. In your mind, what, you know, give us a quick scouting report and what might make him attractive to James Betcher with the Giants?
Sure. So I did kind of dive in and watch a couple of his games, especially from last year. I'm not sure about how he was a bad fit because he was basically playing in, you know, an inside linebacker position. And I think he's billed as this athletic guy. The athleticism, I don't think, always shows up on the field, especially in connection with instincts. I think he's sometimes a step slow. And to go to Patty's point, I have it's very anecdotal. I don't have a very big sample, but I was watching the Minnesota game. He had 10 tackles in that game. I have 5 of them coming 8 or more yards down the field, and 4 of those were 14 or more yards down the field. So he's a little – sometimes he can be a little slow to react. He also, from what I was watching, is very easily blocked out by smaller defenders. In the Seattle game, the first play of the game, he was thrown to the ground by Doug Baldwin, who – I love Doug Baldwin. But that's probably not a guy who should be throwing down your inside linebacker to the ground. He's also, I've seen him a couple times get picked up pretty easily by a running back when he blitzes. But one thing I do think if this trade is going to work is if James Betcher does blitz him a little more. I think blitzing is actually his best skill, and kind of watching him, I'm surprised he's been an inside linebacker for so long when I think he might be a little better as someone who does blitz a little more often. I know it was about 10% of his plays he rushed the passer last year. If he's going to play the Carlos Dansby role for Betcher, who blitzed about 7.6%, if I'm looking at the numbers here, I don't think that's a great fit. But if he's, I don't think he's going to be Hassan Reddick, who was blitzing more than 40% of his time on the inside with Betcher in Arizona last year. But if he can push that up a little more and he's more blitzing and he's not really controlling the middle of the field as much, where some of his instincts can kind of be taken advantage of by the offense, I think that might be his best role on this defense. And I think that's probably the best way this trade works out. If he is in that more aggressive role, I think I trust Betcher to maybe put him in that position, but we'll also have to see how the Giants fill out the rest of the linebackers, because that's really in a complete blank slate right now.
That's a good point, Dan. I think that, you know, how he's utilized, we have to wait and see. We have to wait and see what the linebacking core, you know, that fills out around him looks like. I think, though, that this trade is kind of an exhilarating point in time for the Giants, because they finally have made a major move, you know, at the linebacker position. You know, Alec Ogletree hasn't maybe been the player yet, you know, that his first-round draft status would have indicated. But he's certainly, you know, to this point in his career, better than anything that the Giants currently have. So, you know, and for me, it's also an indication that this could be a really aggressive offseason for the Giants. Patty, I think we'll call this a quick show, but I did want to let you weigh in with anything else that you wanted to add, you know, in relation to the deal before we call it a show.
Really nothing else to add. I mean, I'm absolutely thrilled that they finally show the linebacker unit some love. And, hey, isn't it kind of ironic that if you go back and you look at the veteran trades, most of the veteran trades that they made over the years, you know, they've been linebackers. You know, they acquired Keith Rivers from the Bengals a few years ago. John Beeson was an inside or an in-season trade. And now they've added Ogletree, you know, and of course along the way they've added Brad Wing and Ross Cockrell, a punter and a cornerback respectively. But, you know, one thing I will say is I also hope that the Giants don't stand pat here on linebackers, that maybe they devote one of their remaining draft picks to getting a kid who they can develop and be part of that linebacker unit for a long time.
Yeah, I would hope that you're right there, Patty, because, you know, this move really isn't enough. You hope that this move is really just, you know, the beginning. I mean, at this point also, the Giants, I think, have 5 remaining draft picks. There's a lot of speculation as to what they'll do with that number 2 pick. Maybe with the few draft picks that they have, maybe the Giants would be more inclined to move that number 2 pick and move down a little bit in round 1, collect some extra picks to sort of make up the difference. try to close the talent gap, you know, that was on their roster last year. But it's really an exciting time for Giants fans because, as both of you have indicated, you know, they finally showed some love to the linebacker position. We'll have to see how it works out, but I think all in all, you know, it's kind of a good day. It's a good time to be a Giants fan because you finally have gotten something that you've wanted to see for a long time, which is something more than a stopgap move at the linebacker position. With that said, Giants fans, I think we'll call it a show. Please be sure to check Patty's work at The Athletic and at Inside Football and at Patricia_Traina on Twitter. You can find Dan Pizzuta at Dan Pizzuta on Twitter. You can always find his film analysis and his work at Big Blue View and at Number Fire. And I'm at Big Blue View on Twitter. So we'll talk to you again soon, Giants fans, and bye-bye now.